You know, something that blessed me tonight is just staying open. And Lord, what are you doing during the songs? And I was just blessed with just a clear impression that people were before the Father and the Son. And it was neat. I almost wanted to say that, but I just left that alone because it was being done by those who just entered in. And it's interesting. It's like, this wasn't very clear, but it was like more were before the Father, fewer before the Son. But how many of you just enjoyed and you just feel fulfilled in your spirit just by that time? Isn't that good? And the Lord confirms his word with signs and wonders. And so to me, just the knowledge of knowing that he was doing that was very fulfilling. It's good. Amen. And Earl, I just asked your name over there, but just met Earl. But you know, I just had a little picture of you like riding one of those unicycles, not the unicorn. Did you ever ride one of those, you know? And you know, you don't hardly ever see anybody do that, right? And it's pretty unique, and I'm sure it takes some extra talent, you know. But just when I saw that, to me, I believe the Lord is conveying to you, all of us are unique. And it's almost like some people have an extra dose of uniqueness, you know, like those unicycle riders. But it seems like that maybe you're one of those young men. And I don't know if you have this extra talent or whatever, but there's a scripture that came with that, and it's in Psalm 33, verse 15. It's talking about the Lord from his dwelling place. Verse 14, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. In verse 15, he fashions their hearts individually. And God has fashioned your heart, Earl. I mean, individually. You know, it wasn't a general fashioning. It was Psalm 139 bears that out real good. But to me, I just feel like he wants to encourage you in your uniqueness. And I'd like to talk to you after the service, but there's don't hold back from that uniqueness, you know. Do you know you're kind of like unique or something? You're right? I'll just pray for Earl here. Lord, you singled him out in this moment and just calling out his extra uniqueness and that you have fashioned his heart, that he's not to withhold or hold back or be or despise that, or just shrink back from it. But I ask you to give clarity there, and that you just help him to call on you, because you will show him great and mighty things he is yet to know. And I thank you. We thank you for Earl being here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to finish a little bit more on the gentleness of the all-powerful Holy Spirit. And we talked a little bit about that last week and how important it is to become more acquainted with the Lord's Spirit. To know the Lord is to, in essence, to know his Spirit, though there's different roles that they have. For instance, the Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross. Jesus did. It's obviously a different role. And Jesus is not the Father, he's the Son. And the Holy Spirit's not the Father, he's not the Son, he's the Holy Spirit. And he has a function in our life, on the earth and in our life. And so on the earth, it's to convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. And he'll do that with believers as well. And But he has a role in us, and we need to know that role. And the more we have of an understanding, the more we'll look for it. And just as Paul, when he met these, I think it was 12 men, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? We haven't even heard that there was such a thing. And well, what baptism were you baptized into then? John the Baptist. So he began, so how could they have received whom they haven't even heard of? And so their knowledge was very limited, so therefore their experience was very limited. So that's why it's important for us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and the knowledge of his ministry, which obviously he did by the Holy Spirit anointing the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon him. He's anointed me too. And so he just operated in what he was anointed to do. So we know, we looked at how the Spirit came upon Jesus. After he was baptized in water, he came up, he was praying, then the heavens opened and the Spirit descended upon him in the form, or in bodily form, as a dove. And that's important to know that. We looked at Isaiah 42, how prophetically the Lord moved through Isaiah, talking about his own son, the Father's son. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights in. I have put my Spirit on him. That's just, you know, that amazes me. And when you think about that, because we are of the elect. We're called the elect. We're to make our calling and our election sure. And we do that by just the evidence of faith in our life and adding, as Peter said, seven things to our faith. Not legalistically, but he said in adding, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, we're to be diligent to add virtue to our faith, knowledge, self-control, those things, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love, that if we do these things, you know, we're not going to stumble. And those who are not adding those things to their faith, the Bible's real clear. It says they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. They forgot the value of the cross, why they were saved. Some people, you know, they just, I'm going to get saved to get out of hell, and so God can make me successful. He's never guaranteed our success apart from him. You know, we're saved and brought into our purpose, and grace is all in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible's real clear with that. 2 Timothy 1, we're saved according to his purpose and grace for us, which is in Christ Jesus. I mean, if you could just picture Christ in the form of a light right there, your purpose and your grace from Christ, from God, is right there in him. Everything. In him we live, move, and have our being. Everything about us. So, you know, God's not out to make you successful outside of Christ, outside of his will. Everything is in him. Lord, you know, now that I'm saved, call, you know, bring my dreams to pass. Well, only if they're in Christ. You know what I mean? Now, yes, he'll prosper. We have work and our business. But even there, you have purpose, and your grace from God is in Christ, even in your workplace. Amen. And because we're supposed to do everything as unto the Lord now that we're saved. So that's just amazing where the Lord said, I put my Spirit on him. Now we're of the elect, and God's Spirit is within his bride, but he wants his Spirit also, in a sense, the anointing of the Spirit of God on us, or the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit manifests for a purpose. And so we looked at John 8, 28 and 29, how Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that are pleasing to him. So it's really important that we have a heart that's bent on doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord. In the late 90s, I told you about the visitation of the Spirit, and that's when he revealed to me his almighty power, that if anybody's sick, lame, maimed, crippled, came in my living room, dining room, without any effort, they would have been healed. And as quick as that was manifested, the Spirit's power was manifested. It was withdrawn into himself again, and then I was very aware of his almighty gentleness. And in that order was God's wisdom revealing that to me, son, if you quench him, if you grieve him, you quench the power that I want to manifest, because people need to be well. And it's beyond them being well too. The Father is glorified. And it's an amazing platform for people to come streaming to the goodness of the Lord, because they're like, something's happening. And there is a platform to preach Christ to people who would not have heard Christ otherwise. And so they come. And that's what they did. When you read the book of Acts, a display of the wonder of God, a man that was lame that they knew standing right there. And they would say, and let it be known to you that by the name of Jesus, this man stands here whole. And that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And so there God displayed his glory. A man was healed, but ultimately the gospel was spread and a couple thousand people got saved. Isn't that awesome? You know, God has a purpose in everything. And so because he is love, he does want to heal people. He can, he does, and he wills to heal them. And we read about the gifts of the Spirit. He gives them to as many as he wills. He's looking for willing vessels. He's just looking for willing vessels. Some are ignorant of the gifts. So how can he use them? Some people, well, he can. Yeah, it's very, very rare. You know, they don't even know what's going on. Hey, I think I'm supposed to do this. But the more that we come in the knowledge of these gifts, and you understand, and I understand, that we're called to be vessels that the Holy Spirit can use for a greater purpose, then the more he will find us and use us for that. So to me, it was very fulfilling for me to hear Samantha say I needed to hear that, and that she was located and God gave her light. You see? So even tonight, when I'm speaking on this message, it will speak to some of you, but then there's something else that God knows, and God may use someone to speak that to you, and you're like, I needed to hear that. Or during that worship time, that encounter, maybe some of you received some counsel and you wrote it down, or you just, wow, I was just so fulfilled and refreshed just sitting before the Father. All of these things are important. And just what Earl received, you know, and uniqueness. And that's really neat, because now I am even more interested in finding out about this young man. It just goes way beyond the moment that God has. He just knows everybody. He knows what's going on. And the more people that there are staying open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the more he will minister and the more people's needs will be met. Amen? Say amen or something, you know. And so that was, that set me on a journey. And so we just talked about some things that can, you know, what grieves the Holy Spirit, and or what causes him, the word would be sorrow. And just as something that can cause you sorrow, I've caused people sorrow. Others have caused me sorrow. I've been hit physically before, And I've hit people physically before. But there's a different sorrow that when somebody says or does something that's not physical, it hurts you on the inside. Well, the same thing. There are things we can say, things that we can do. There's attitudes we can manifest that the Holy Spirit is grieved. And when we grieve Him, we quench. The reason He's in us for other reasons. And so Holy Spirit doesn't move in some people just because He's grieved. He doesn't move in some churches because He's ignored. And some don't even teach on the gifts of the Spirit. They think that's sometime in the past. Boy, they're missing out on some things, you know. And sometimes we can get in a rut. And there's the Holy Spirit. There's, you know, and right there. You know, Margie shared something that's really neat, and it kind of goes with what, you know, Michael shared something with me, just how, you know, he heard a message from his pastor or where he was, and it was just so fresh on him. The Lord had him connected with somebody right after that, and he shared that with him. You know, he was just releasing the word, the water that came in him, and then Margie was sharing just the importance of how we need to not be, I'll just interpret it this way and paraphrase it, you know, the Jordan River flows into two bodies of water, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is called that, you know, because it's a salt sea. But, you know, both of them have an inlet, but only one of them has an outlet. And so one is stagnant. And that's the one that doesn't have an outlet. That's the Dead Sea. And so you can have dead Christians, you know, that they just keep receiving. But they don't dispense. They're not conduits of the ministry. They're not releasing. And so, I won't say that. Not everything that comes to my mind is the Holy Spirit. Same thing with you. It wasn't bad. It was an old song that somebody used to sing. And so I'll just get that out. It was a Christian song, but I want to still get that out. And so, but it's funny, y'all can tell. So, you know, we don't want to be a Dead Sea. We want to be like the Sea of Galilee. And when you look at a vast difference in the waters of those two, and you can just look up pictures and just look at the pictures. And I love Revelation 22:1. And it talks about a pure river of living water, clear as crystal. Everybody say pure river of living water, clear as crystal. That defines the Holy Spirit right there. He is pure, He is clear, and He is living. And when He's flowing, what does He do? He gives life, He purifies, and He cleanses. Isn't that right? You know, so that's amazing. And that's not that one. But hey, so I just being in the Lord's presence purifies, cleanses, and imparts life. And you know, it's so neat because and then you go out and you are just a conduit, a vessel of purity, of clear truth, and of life. Even when you speak, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you talk so much, you know, all these things about the Holy Spirit, it just makes it very simple, the understanding of why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, when you're filled with the Spirit, these things come to pass. Amen? And so, what was I going to say? So, and when you're speaking, people, they just know there's, when you just speak, they're like, I feel peace. And it's because your words, when you're speaking under the unction of the Spirit, those words are spirit and they are life. And they feel it. It's amazing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, I wish it were more common, you know, for me, But it's neat to hear that, and doesn't mean everyone will say that. But you can tell when you are full of the Spirit and when you're speaking as led by the Spirit, there is the atmosphere around them is being affected by the Spirit within you, Him being released. So just as they could tell water coming on them physically, they can sense Spirit words in their spirit, because you're made of spirit, soul, and body. And that's why your spirit has to receive the Spirit word. The word, when you're reading, you're listening, it's nourishing your spirit. Just as food, your physical body, so the word of God feeds your spirit man. And it's being nourished, it's being saturated. So that's why, you just watch the news, your spirit man is not being fed at all. And we're not called to carry the news of the world. You might use it as a springboard for a witness. But man, that stuff gets in you and it affects you. It can affect you in a very negative way. It's a spirit about it, and it's the spirit of the world. And a lot of sitcoms, there's just a lot of sarcasm in that. And it gets in these people. And you'll find families just being sarcastic because it got to them. It affects not only the atmosphere of the house, it affects the atmosphere of their mind and their own spirit. And we're called to be cleansed of all filthiness of our spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having these promises, beloved, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and flesh, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. What are the promises? That in chapter 6, just made some of them, that God would walk among us. He would father you. You'll come into the fatheringhood of God. That itself is amazing. It's not just, oh yeah, He's my Father. You will come into the experiential, relational fatherhood of God. You will have encounters with Him. That is amazing. He is the Father of your spirit. And so there is so many things are forfeited simply by not perfecting holiness and the fear of God, coming out of what we need to. Just like that word to dear Samantha, if she'll be obedient to that, she's going to come down the pathway into the goodness of God. And I told her, I said, Samantha, every time God's told me to lay something down, what I have in exchange, I would never trade it back. And when He said lay something down, what He meant by that too was the time that you have given to that, give it to me or give it to this. That's really important. Really important. There are some, just because they wouldn't obey one simple step of obedience, are missing out on a magnitude of revelation. Because it all begins with a step of listening and obeying the Lord. One step of obedience will lead you and I into, wow, a vast of wonderful things with the Lord. Anybody being encouraged yet tonight? I know Michael is. Amen. So the fact that the Holy Spirit in us, think about this, real simple, is God's Spirit. And that He's also called the Spirit of Christ says a lot about His nature. One time, man, the Lord said, son, when my Spirit speaks to you, that's me. When you disobey Him, you're disobeying me. He just brought that home to me. To know the Spirit, the different, His name, and different names He's called by, His attributes, such as Holy Spirit. If you want Him operating more in your life, we need to walk in holiness. Perfect holiness. Y'all, so many people, you'll see them in the world. Just take the game of golf. Nothing wrong with playing golf unless God said, lay it down. All right? I spent hours on the golf course. And I picked it up again to spend time with my dad. And then just conviction, and I just let it go. And I just don't go to games. It's just all God speaking to me. And you know what? What I have, I just, it's just no interest. You know, I'm just let it go. This thing with Jesus, real. He's not a religion. And y'all know that. We know that. And I know that in my relational experience with Jesus, wherever it is, there is always a group of people way out here. But I'm glad for where I am. But I'm not going to stay here. There's no such thing as plateauing with Jesus. Not in his book. Not in his book. And there's Paul, an older man, still saying, I press toward the goal for the prize. What does it mean to press? That is not a lackadaisical attitude. That is not a casual attitude. That's not being listless. You know, that is like, I'm pressing. It wasn't 24/7, you got to sleep. It takes me about an hour and a half sometimes just to wind down because of what God is doing in my spirit. You know, so sometimes it's only 4 hours, 5 hours of sleep. He always makes it up, helps me keep going. Thank God I'm not a football player because I couldn't do all that. You know, they can't make it on that, but it's all good. He will always make it up to you. So he's called the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Grace. And when you read in Acts chapter 14, I think it is, maybe verse 3, but it says how the Lord was bearing witness. They went out and preached. The Lord was bearing witness to the word of his grace, with signs and wonders following. That speaks a lot. That means, and they marveled at the gracious words Jesus spoke. He came full of grace and truth. And boy, he spoke it, and it cut to the heart. But there was a whole lot of grace. Just as Pastor was saying this morning, he was there to receive them. He was there for them to experience his love. But they had to come to the light that was already exposing their sins, even without him calling some of them out. They were convicted. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was full measure with Jesus. And so when he spoke the word, the Holy Spirit worked. And that's why when they came and put that woman there caught in adultery, you know, hey, Moses said, what do you say? And then he wrote some things down. And then the word wrote things in the sand. And then the word spoke. And from the oldest to the youngest, each of them being convicted, their conscience, by the Holy Spirit, dropped the stone and walked away. Got to have both the word and the ministry of the Spirit, where the word just is not that effective, just like the vision. And it's really important to be filled with the Spirit, do what the Spirit tells you, what the Father is communicating to you, say what he's saying to say. Because y'all, you know, we can operate in two worlds at the same time. You could be in here hearing my voice, but your mind could be thinking about something totally different. You can walk out here and say, who was preaching? Or what was he talking about? And be oblivious to the whole thing. You can drive home without even paying that much attention, and you'll get there. And you'll watch things, but you will never go a different way unless you make a deliberate choice and override autopilot. You will never go a different way. And some churches will do that. They will never do something different because they're on autopilot. The only way to do something different, the only way you will go a different way home, watch it tonight. You will drive if you're driving, but you will not go a different way unless you make a deliberate choice, override autopilot, and say, you know, I'm going to go this way. If you don't do that, you'll go the same way. And we're creatures of habit. Look at people. They don't even have to think about where they come and sit on Sunday. Creatures of habit. And you know, hey, someone's in my place. I like playing musical chairs. I think it's cool to go sit somewhere different. Go sit by someone else sometimes. But you know how it is. Amen. But watch, you know, if we're not careful, we can operate in autopilot when the Lord's saying, I want to do a new thing, and I want to do it in a different way. Trust me. Amen? Yay. So he's called the spirit of power, love, soundness. Then there's all the fruit of the spirit. He's called the spirit of wisdom, counsel, knowledge, understanding, even the fear of the Lord. And he descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. A dove is gentle and harmless. I wonder why Jesus said, when you go out, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They're harmless. They're gentle. And that's something. But if you had a dove on your shoulder and he felt comfortable there, there'd be some things you'd learn to do. Not to grieve him or scare him lest he fly off. And see, we don't want the Holy Spirit to fly off. We want him to make his home with us. You know, we don't want him to be grieved, so we must learn to not cause him sorrow. So not only if I dishonor my wife, not only are my prayers hindered, but I grieve the Spirit because that is also God's daughter. And even if a person is not saved, we're not to grieve their spirit. We're to be faithful to the heart of God. Let the Spirit do the conviction. My mama said, six kids she had, she said, if one thing I had to do over in raising kids, it'd be this one thing. I would not try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can try to do the work of the Spirit. But we have, it's a tough place sometimes, isn't it? When you see these things with your eyes, where there's things that irk you, and to abide in Christ and trust the Spirit to operate. Now, granted, if you don't pray, he just won't move that much. Because that's why Paul said, I know that through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit, this will turn out. So we've got to pray, beloved. And we've got to trust that in that, God is supplying his Spirit. I shared this vision with some of you. I shared it with the 50s plus life group. I'm not going to go all into it, but I was standing and I'm seeing these like bullet-sized spheres of golden light just go. And I saw a bunch of them. And they landed in this vast area of brilliant white like light. And I could see it like a little shiny gold in this vast area of bright, brilliant white. And some, they would go, and I watched another, and it would connect. And I would just watch them land, and I would see some just starting to grow because that bullet sphere of light just hit the same area, and that spot would grow, and it would grow. And then the whole scene was shifted. It just turned, and I'm still standing, and I'm like, my. And because it went back to where I can see it further away, I can get the whole picture, and I'm like, that's God. I'm seeing his profile. Not, it's a vision, so I'm not seeing all the details, you know. But I'm like, why, that's God. And the Holy Spirit, they were the prayers of the saints. And every time a believer that lucid, earnest, sincere prayer in faith, it went. And this vision was relaying those that required persistent prayer. And then it came back. And I noticed how the whole revelation of it was some areas they stopped. They were building and they stopped. I missed one important. Back to the profile. And I watched one grow. And it just got big in the Father, his spirit. And I saw as it got, his hand began to come up like this, and the sphere of light went up, and it went out of his hand as he stretched it, like this, and the Holy Spirit was telling me, he goes, he just answered that person's persistent prayer. And then it went back, and I saw how, I wish I brought it down with me, oh, I can still feel that. This happened, I don't know, some months ago. The first people I shared it with, in a general way, was Faith and Lauren when they were praying on Thursday. I said, y'all, this is going to encourage you. It's encouraged me. It's making a difference. And then I was grieved, not grieved over, I was grieved in a way, saddened, not over something that was done wrong, but some of the areas they stopped growing. And the Lord was saying, these are those who've gotten discouraged because I haven't answered their prayer yet. In those moments, even now, I can still feel the Father's grief. Not a bad one over sin, but it's like they stopped and they got discouraged. And there's some prayers that he answers when people break through in a moment. But these were things that they were trusting God for. And they got discouraged and they left that prayer. And Jesus taught so much on the value of persistent prayer. Luke 11, Luke 18, it's just all over there. He talked about, and Ryan was sharing with me, it was a dream that you had, or just, no, something with the cat. And he just meowed late at night. It normally will go out and do its potty thing. But this night, it just meowed. And Ryan's like, man, I got to get out of bed or it's going to mess on the floor, you know. And he was saying the Lord spoke to him about being persistent. Yes. And that's real important. So there's some things. It's like, man, I could just cry right now over that because I'm touched with his grief and over, it's his grief because people have walked away. You know, Jesus in Luke 18, right off the bat, said, he spoke a parable that men, women, we're speaking men, always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that was the thing. They lost heart. Or they just wrote it off as, I guess I missed it. Maybe, and they let it go. Maybe because something didn't happen and they just fizzled out and got discouraged. And that parable in Luke 18 that he spoke, in essence, saying, if an unjust judge who didn't fear God or have regard for people, if he got up and exercised justice for a widow, how much more will your Father in heaven rise up and answer those who cry out to him day and night? Though he bears long with them. Then Jesus turns and he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? You know what he's saying is, when he comes to answer, to move, will he find people still believing and praying? And you can tell when faith has waned because the prayer movement has stopped. Why are prayer rooms empty? What's up? Why has the Holy Spirit stopped? There's an answer for these things. And that's what I'm bent on discovering. I've had to tell my wife after some things, I said, baby, the things that we prayed for, some things we've got discouraged. That was up to their obedience too. But right now, honey, what we're believing God for, it's up to our obedience. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And there's some things that are just up to your faith and your obedience. And there are some things that are up for a group's obedience and their faith and their hunger and their desire. You know, so because I'm going to finish with this. I need to stop. And that's why I got this treasure box right over here. So I had a dream in Missouri, and it was 2011, so this is 6 years ago. It's really important to write down the things that God, well, I believe it is, so I do that. And so 6 years ago, I had this dream. I was in a room with veteran disciples. They were just mature men and women that God was using. And so I'm in that, and I'm listening, and I can, it's cool, I hear their topic. And their main discussion was a valuable lesson to be learned, something that they were discussing among themselves. And it was like round table talk, and they were talking about how vital it was to grasp this that they were understanding. And the Lord brought me into that, saying, son, you got to get this. It's important. And it was one that would enable them to stay in the flow of God's Spirit and have His ministry operating like Jesus. They were discussing the importance of maintaining godly and gracious responses in light of various situations that arise, especially those that tend to provoke an ungodly or an ungracious response from us. This would indeed grieve the Spirit right away and therefore quench His ministry around us or working through us. I then noticed a treasure box to my right. And how much I wanted what was in that box. I mean, it was like I just was so curious, but in the dream, and I know the Spirit was working. It's like, I want what's in that box. It was a holy desire. And I wanted that. I knew it was something precious inside there from the Lord that He wanted to give to me. And then I woke from my dream. And the Lord was showing me that in order to have the glory of the Spirit's ministry, beloved, this is mind-boggling. When you read 2 Corinthians 3, talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so much glorious than the ministry of condemnation in the Old Testament, where Moses' face shone that they had to put a veil over it. That there is a ministry of the Spirit of God accessible to us that excels in glory. And it's promised us. And for all the right reasons, is so needed in the church and wherever we go. Because of what's happening in our world. Now, forerunners, God will open your eyes to see things, to proclaim things. And others will grasp that. And we'll get a hold of that. Like, what are you saying to us, Lord? What are you saying? Are you speaking right now through Raphael? Are you saying that there's something in a treasure box that we can have individually and corporately that you want to bestow upon us? Yes. Yes, indeed. And the importance of, in my journal 6 years ago, and I would have another dream. I'm on my way to the church, and Stefan in the dream had worked, and things were left out, and it was a mess, and it was interfering with what we had to do. And I started getting upset in the dream. And I said, nope, I can't afford to do that. That's going to quench the spirit. I need to stay gracious and just, hey, we'll get to that later. Let me just stay in the flow because I don't want... See, me getting angry over that or saying something I shouldn't have would have quenched the spirit. And I would not have been the vessel of the potential that was available to operate in that service. Y'all see what I'm saying, God? It's amazing, y'all, how God, when we just open our hearts and we're just serious about that and say, Lord, I want to get these things. Communicate to me. And the visuals or the dreams, but you know, you're staying in the Word because it's all in there. Everything's in there. That's why, back to 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises. It's like these are promises. And when you go back to what you just read in chapter 6, 14, what agreement has light with darkness? They'll come out and don't touch what's unclean. Don't behold what's unclean. Don't partake of it. It will defile your spirit, man. Then you got to go through that process of getting all cleaned up again. But you've quenched the spirit. And then you've quenched his ministry. You hear what I'm saying? It's like this promise. Promises are available to us that God would walk among us. What is that like? Y'all, come on. What is it like for God to walk among us? It's like, wow. I mean, it's the Spirit moving. It will do it by the Spirit and move. Sometimes you might feel the wind of the Spirit just sweep across and refresh people. But God walking among us and things, wonders being spoken, being done. Yes, you know, it's like, okay, God, now I want to do the prerequisites and be obedient to you. And so it's interesting. Last month, one of the visions I had, I was in the throne room. And the Lord, there was a treasure chest there. Here it is, 6 years ago, and I'm seeing the same treasure box. And he opened it up, and he took a garment out. You know, it's like he shook it, and my mind was, while I'm seeing this, there's no dust in heaven, and it wasn't that. It was just a garment that's been neglected, and what he told me that meant. So whether I'm like, something I've been neglecting, or it's just being neglected, and the Lord brought that out, you know. And all I have in here is just some anointing oil, but it has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's phenomenal. So if the Holy Spirit is not moving much or manifesting much in gatherings, it's due to several things: lack of knowledge, lack of interest or desire, hunger, unwillingness to let him operate or lead in his will, which is the Father's will. Or just getting comfortable in the measure that we operate in. Now the opposite is also true. Where he'll increase his ministry and his moving, it would be because of increased knowledge, increased interest or desire, a willingness and a hunger for him to move and to have his way. Amen. I'm finished with the talk part. Kevin, come on back up if you would, please. And if Lauren, if you're willing or able, I don't know what you all have planned. Lord, I just want to thank you. I just pray this prayer for us, Lord. Help all of us in all the different areas that we're in and our levels of maturity, because there are levels. We know that because your purpose for us is till we all become, we're to grow up into Christ, into him who is the head, to the stature, the measure, the fullness of Christ. So help us, God, to mature in and flow with the Spirit's response in circumstances towards people, such as in awkward moments or disruptions, disturbances, distractions, mishaps, that our mouth is harnessed, that our words are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that we too become more and more full of grace and truth, walking wise as serpents and being harmless as doves.